The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I'd like to introduce the heartbeat of God. So Josiah, would you come up here? And I presume the hand drums are mic'd and that he'll be able to do that. I've asked Josiah to come up and he's going to play just a nice soft rhythm for the whole service. Because I'd like to have the heartbeat of God going throughout the service, and it is appropriate. And I think in terms of drums, like pretty much I hear drums all the time in my head, and there isn't any time that we're in the car, for example, that Josiah and I aren't going back and forth with some rhythm somewhere in the car. And he's the champion, by the way, of course, but it's something that I always hear, and I always equate it to the heartbeat of God. I'm always aware that there is a heartbeat going on through life, and I also am aware of the fact that sometimes we don't hear it. Sometimes we hear it, sometimes it gets drowned out in some fashion or another. So Josiah, go ahead and get started anytime. That's just beautiful. Thank you so much. This is what we're going to be listening to for a little while. Part of what I'm going to talk about today was brought to you in, by a friend of ours. Renee and I have a friend that's in the Single Life group who I'm not going to call out right now, but this is a person I'm going to get teary because Jesus loves her so much, loves her so very much, and when we think of her, we just can see how much Jesus loves her. But she looked at me once. She's so beautiful inside and out, and she said, well, maybe I'm hearing the Lord, but how do I know? How do I know? How can I hear his voice? It could be what I'm hearing right now, but it might be something else. And we got to talking a little bit about distractions of life, and that's what we're going to be talking about right now. What is going on in the world today isn't the way it's always been. In fact, what's going on right now in the world today has really only been happening for maybe about 100 years. Only for about 100 years has it been as loud as it's been in our world today. Only for about 100 years or so has there been all the noises and all the distractions and things like that. I would dare say that. By the way, Psalm 46:10, if you could, for those of you that have Bibles, feel free to use your electronic device. This is not going to be an anti-electronic device message, but for some of you it will be. But he turned to Psalm 46:10, and what it says in there, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." In the NIV, "I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted above the earth. Be still and know I'm God." As long as I can remember, when I've heard that verse, I've always thought, be still and know that I'm God. And I've always known that when I'm still, I can hear him. But another translation, the Common English Version, says this: be still. Or it says, enough and know I'm God. And I think I tend towards the be still and know I'm God, but I get the enough. And the further into history we go, or I should say the further into the future we go, I think we're going to be saying even more and more, enough. We'll probably get that version of it. But what I want to talk about for the next few moments is the way it was. Oh, 5,700 years ago, 4,700 years ago, 3,000 years ago, as far back as you can go, pretty much the noises that we hear today didn't even exist. And the distractions didn't exist. Rather than go through all the millennium, we're just going to go back to 100 years ago. We're going to go back to about 1915. And my friend Daryl, who offered me a hand earlier, he's going to put up some pictures here. This is a picture, for example, of a house. And it is from, actually, the house was built before 100 years ago. These are some Elk River photos. By the way, the photos are courtesy of Dwayne Mordahl. And I want you to know, he made it very clear to me, make sure everybody knows, I did not take these pictures. But this picture right here, for example, and this one here, yeah, you can. We'll start with this one here. This one right here, you can see, for all intents and purposes, if you study it hard enough, there is not a cord to be found. There is no electrical cord connecting anything to anywhere else. This is how it was. And say 100 years ago, right now, right at this hour, the inside of the house would look like maybe the inside of this house, except that it was sunlight that was lighting it and nothing else was. And yes, there were lamps, but you'd save the oil for later. You wouldn't have that on in the daytime. There's no way. Can you go to the next slide? This is how we got things done in farm fields like right here. We would walk behind people, and we would ulti. Okay, thank you very much. Back in the day, you would go in the farm, and in fact, I was talking to Dwayne, and Dwayne says, well, it's a kind of farm implement, obviously, for plowing. He says he wasn't exactly sure the exact nature of it. But if you can see, that's muddy and mucky and awful. There is nothing fun about this job. You can plant a field, and things can be growing in a matter of days now. But back then, it was weeks and months preparing to what you were going to be doing. Can you go to the next slide? This is a picture of downtown. This is the hotel. Right now, there's a building in downtown Elk River. And the building in downtown Elk River that is there now is one of those new apartments that's right across from the main eatery. So this is what that looked like then. And if you look over in the right-hand corner, that's not a car. That's just a wagon with horses. See, this is 1915, World War I. And World War I hasn't, can you still hear me, or are we? World War I hasn't really hit us yet. At all. I mean, the United States isn't involved in it. We're aware of it. The president's, you know, scheming, who knows. But it hadn't happened to us yet. So basically, towns like this, that's mud, that's dirt. Next slide. This is what we did for fun 100 years ago. This is how we escaped the heat. About four times during every Sunday service, somebody goes up there to try to make us all comfortable to that thermostat on the wall there. This is the way we did it 100 years ago, and 2,000 years ago, and 5,000 years ago. That's Bailey's. Did you say, Dwayne, Bailey's?
Bailey's Park.
Next slide. And then this one right here is that the courthouse? Or no, it's the church. And that's okay. And this is a church that actually existed for quite a while, but this is about back in the time again where there wasn't any roads. It was muddy on a muddy day. Getting there probably wasn't very much fun. On a sunny day, a lot more fun. People traveled around. Everything took a long time. And I set the stage like this in this way because I want you to know everything was much quieter. Is there one more picture? This picture here, you notice to the left, those are telephone wires. Those aren't power lines. So we had phones way before we had electricity in Elk River, for example. And the Mordals tell me they were party lines. So if you heard your ring, you could get on the phone and listen. If you heard someone else's ring, you'd wait 5 seconds. And then get on the phone and listen. But those are telephone lines over in the left-hand corner there. This is wagons over here. There's a horse right there. There's somebody in an extremely long, I'm sure very comfortable on a hot summer day dress. And this is downtown Elk River as well. What would probably happen when you wake up in the morning about 4 hours ago or 5 hours ago on a Sunday morning is you would get up and you would take the covers off your bed and your house is cold. And the very first sound you hear that morning is either a farm animal waking you up, or it's the sound of your covers coming off your bed. There's no other sounds in the house. There's no other strange creaks or anything, just that. And your feet would slide over the bed and onto the floor. And you might get your feet into the slippers after you knocked critters out of them. And then you'd take a walk across your floor. And you'd slide across the floor, and these are the first sounds that you're hearing. And as you go into your kitchen, you'd be reaching over to get some coffee started. But I checked, and there wasn't indoor water in most homes out in the country quite yet. That was going to happen, but there was an outdoor pump. So the next sound you would hear is you're going to hear a door slamming as it's coming back to close, and you're going out, and you're pumping, and those noises. And then you stop, and you've got your coffee going, and an occasional sound of the horse in the barn or a rooster crowing. And you sit at your table and you read the word. In fact, if you've got books in your house, for sure you've got the Bible. For sure you've got the Bible, as opposed to nowadays where you might not even have that in a house. So it's you and the word and the Lord. And that's it. And as you go through your day, even if you have family, even if there's a little bit of commotion throughout most of your day, as you go out to the farm, as you go out, you might say goodbye to your spouse, and you go out and you work in the fields. Maybe if you brought your lunch, you work in the fields all day long. And it's you and the two horses that are pulling the plow and the Lord. I dare say for 5,600 of the 5,700 years that I'm personally aware of, that in all those years, you had an amazing opportunity to talk to the Lord all the time. And as the day went on, as you got home, as you did whatever it is you do, as you maybe loaded up a backboard, as you, the wagon, and you put the horses on it, maybe you need to go into town. It's a two-hour drive from here into town, I presume, something like that. So it's 2 hours from here, and all you're hearing is the clip-clop of the hoofs. And if you ever go into town, maybe that's once a week, you've got lots of time to hear the Lord. You have lots of time to listen to his heartbeat. Well, that was 100 years ago. That was then. But now it's 2015. Be still. Can we have a round of applause for our... That is a teeny tiny snippet of what it's really like now. We had one family saying, "You're my enemy." No, you're my enemy. We had another lady that was just saying, "I just want someone to listen to me. I've got so much to say." We had a family standing over here that they were back to back, and they were literally touching each other. And they were saying, "Where are you? Where are you? I want to talk to you. Where are you?" And it's kind of sad. We're touching each other. This is the communication age. I read in Time magazine today. Must be true, right? This is the communication age, and we probably have confused FaceTime for FaceTime. And if that's the case, the person, the biggest loser in a way, loser's not the right word, the person that is missing us the most is God. The person that has lost the time with us all the most is God. And you know, we can't hardly help ourselves. I'm here to tell you, I'm not getting rid of my phone for a couple of reasons. It belongs to Ken Beaudry. So I'm not going to just chuck it. But besides that, I like knowing what's going on. I like the news. But I'll tell you what else I like. I'm starting to train myself to turn it off. I'm starting to train myself to turn off the radio when I get in the car. And if I didn't do it, especially in preparation for this week's message, I got to tell you something funny that Renee and Josiah can attest to. My car radio broke this week. It's a relatively new car. You know, it's an electronic deal, and I have an appointment for tomorrow and all that stuff. But just to accentuate, to put a little exclamation mark that this is the word I want you to teach. God made it so that when I go to turn on the radio or off or change the station, right? I mean, sometimes I turn on the car and the radio's on, but the electronics wouldn't let me adjust it or turn it off or change it or anything. So I'm stuck with whatever it was. And God was making a point. He's just making a point to me. He wants our attention. He wants us to be still. He wants us to listen and know that he's God. And the rest of that verse says, so that he will be exalted. So I think he wants us to exalt him. And we're being disobedient, kind of, if we're not stopping and just taking that simple advice. And there's another verse. I think the other verse, I have it written down over here. It's John 10:27 that in short says, "And if we know his voice, if we hear his voice, he will know us." And I want to be known. I want to be known. I mean, I took a personality profile test a week ago at work, and guess what it says? The number one thing about J. Brian Kelva. I need to be the center of attention. I scored off the charts, 92%. It was the highest thing. There's leadership, there's this, there's sensitivity. I don't want to tell you what my sensitivity score was. I'm working on it, though, okay? But off the charts was it need to be seen. But God says, so he knows that I want to be known. But I'm learning this week that I want to be known by him more than anyone else. And he's like, I'm with you, Brian. But he says, here's the recipe. You got to, at least every now and again, be still and know that I'm the Lord. All right. Josiah's going to try to blend in with me. There's just one other thing here. Oh, honey, I left you time. The Lord gave me, and we'll see how bifocals work. The Lord gave me a song, hopefully to accentuate this, and it is a simple song. All my songs are. You ever use somebody else's keyboard on their computer, and you go, even though it's the same as everybody else's keyboard, you feel a little bit lost? Just saying. In the quiet, his love is free. I'd like to thank you, Kesiah, for being the heartbeat of God. Bless you.
I'm going to remember the next time Josiah is playing the drums in our house, I'm going to say, oh, that's just the heartbeat of God. It's cool. Because it can be loud. So that gives me good perspective. Thanks for doing that. Ah, that's good. That ministered to me. We are really excited to have the opportunity to just share some of the things that's on our heart. And obviously, one of the things that the Lord's speaking right now to us is about getting off the merry-go-round and listening and having face time with the Lord and also with one another. And one of the things that you're going to find about Living Waters Church, is that we are not so much about creating programs. We're about creating culture. And so as we're speaking to you, it's not even just about, here's a list of the things you need to do. You know, it's not like, go home and get rid of your phone. That's what they said to do at church or whatever. But it's about ministering to our spirits a truth that the Lord is sharing right now so that we can create a culture that can bring glory to the Lord. And so one of the core values of this house is that what we do needs to bring his kingdom to earth. And so we're just looking at what are the areas that are a barrier to that? What are the areas that are hindering that sometimes for us in bringing his kingdom to earth? And sometimes, like Brian's talking about, it's not being able to hear him or not taking the time to really be able to hear him. The other thing that I love is what I'm doing today, what we're doing today and speaking to you and sharing is awesome, but it's so cool for me when I'm talking to someone and I say, this is what's on my heart and this is what God's showing me. And somebody else says, that's what God's showing me too. And so as important as what you're hearing today when you come on a Sunday morning is what is the Lord speaking to your heart? Because if we're sharing these things and it doesn't resonate with you at all because it's not what you're hearing in your relationship with the Lord, it's probably not going to have a whole lot of lasting effect in your life. And so we just want to come and agree with whatever things the Lord is speaking to your heart in this area. Because we found when we're talking to different people, the Lord is speaking to them about being able to hear, being still, having time to process things with the Lord. The other piece that we're very passionate about is creating places and spaces for us to be in community together. Because like Brian said, we have this sort of thought that we are more connected than we have ever been. And in some ways, that's true. But last night, my phone cracked yesterday, and I had to go get an upgrade or whatever the deal is. And I was talking to the young man across the table, and we were talking about this. I was trying out my sermon at T-Mobile. And we were talking about this, and he said, you know, I do think we're more connected than we ever have been. But even he, who works for T-Mobile, said, I think it's quantity more than quality. He says, I am aware of way more people's birthdays than I have ever been aware of. But that 30 seconds it takes me to send them a message is not the same as what I would do for someone that I'm in relationship with or the time I would spend with them. And he even said, I wonder if we're trading this quantity for quality. And so one of the things we know as it relates to creating the culture that ushers the kingdom of heaven to earth is that we have to have quality community. We have to have that oneness for us to really be able to show who Jesus is. And we've talked through this. It's a funny thing because I sometimes feel like I'm saying the same things over and over again. Like when someone gives you a phone number and you don't have a piece of paper to write it down, so you just walk around the house going 555-3926, 555-3926, 555 until you can get to your phone or get to paper or whatever. I feel like it's like that. Like the Lord is saying, I don't want you to forget this. And so I feel like I'm constantly just saying the same thing. But I want to encourage us that this is important to the Lord. So we're not about creating programs here. We want to create strategy or culture, not necessarily just strategy, because culture eats strategy for lunch. Culture outlasts a program any day. And so even in the role that Brian and I have, we want to create a culture that values community, that values coming together beyond just what we're doing on Sunday mornings and just doing life together. And part of the kind of tension that we have or the struggle we have is we want to create that culture. We want it to be very organic and very free, but we want to be intentional about creating that culture. And so just like, again, this Living Waters is intentional about creating an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can have his way. But we have to create that atmosphere first that allows for that. And so that's what we want to do. We believe that the normal Christian life is lived in community. The normal Christian life has people whose life is flowing into me, who I'm flowing in life together with, and who life from me is flowing into them. That's the normal Christian life as modeled in the Word for us. If we look at what that looked like, the normal Christian life, we look at Paul, who's, I mean, really, he's like the super Christian, right? I want to be like Paul. He's amazing. But he had a Barnabas who put life into him, who grew him up in who he was, who saw what was in Paul, even though Paul had been, in the past, had persecuted the church, had probably killed people or been involved with that Barnabas knew. But he saw the Lord working in his life, and he poured into him. And he brought, if you look through the scripture, I kind of always had in my head, like, Paul had this encounter with Jesus, well, or with the Lord, and then he went off and he was just doing his thing. But if you look through scripture, it was Barnabas that introduced him to the other apostles. It was Barnabas who went and got him and said, come with me to Antioch and work with me, do life with me, and then accompanied Paul on his first mission trip before Paul ever went alone. And so we see this pattern over and over again in Scripture where we have people that we have life flowing to us from them, and we have life flowing out of us to them. And that's one of the things that we're going to be looking at today. Where are you getting life from other people? Brian talked about the way that we can receive life from the Lord, and that's a huge core piece of our Christian walk. In addition to that, where are you getting life from other people? Who has an impact? Who is transferring life into you in your Christian walk and in your life in general? And then also, do you have opportunities that you're able to transfer life into other people, in your family, and in community around you? We just believe it's a big deal to God. Part of it is because of the need for oneness to happen in the body of Christ, for us to really represent who Jesus is and to represent the character of God. So we've talked before about how in John 17, Jesus was focused on even his prayers. As he's getting ready to be crucified, he was focused on the oneness of the body moving forward. Make them one, as you and I are one, so that the world will know. And so knowing that this is a huge part of the mandate as the church fulfilling the mandate that we have, we want to be intentional about creating that. We want to be intentional that that's an important piece to us in this body. We do, it's a very countercultural way of thinking. We think very individualistically, and we think very independently, partially because of a Western mindset, but even our Christianity, to some degree, has taken on this very individual concept, this concept of it's just about me and Jesus. I talked with someone who does not go to this church. They don't live near here. But I was just coaching with her a little bit. I was talking with her. She's struggling in some different areas. And she was saying, I'm just struggling with this, and I'm not seeing any growth in this area and that area. And I said, well, who's discipling you? Who is pouring life into you? Who are you around? And she said, well, I have a few women that are doing that for me. She said, Joyce Myers and Beth Moore. And I listened to a lot of the Bethel stuff. And she really felt like that answered the question. And to some degree, because of our access, we have an amazing access to that kind of discipleship. We have amazing access to those messages and things being spoken into us. But when we talked through it, she had nobody that she was doing life with who could speak that in and who could be alongside her and sit in her kitchen and have an influence, a shared influence that was happening. And it is kind of our culture that we have this sort of independence and this individualism, but it is not the culture of the kingdom. It is not a culture that is going to truly demonstrate who Jesus is. And so that's what we're after. One of the hugest parts of the gospel, one of the biggest things that it gained for us in 1 Peter 2, it says, once you were not a people, now you are a people. So there was this unifying factor of the gospel, not just between God and man, but between man. There was the fall when sin entered the picture wasn't just about destroying oneness between us and God. There was also a oneness destroyed between mankind. And, you know, it wasn't just, Adam and Eve weren't just covering themselves when they, you know, sin was revealed, and they weren't just covering themselves from God, they were covering themselves from one another. So one of the aspects that we focus on in marriage ministry and in family ministry is a reintroducing of vulnerability and transparency in relationship, that we have to create safe places to be open and transparent in front of one another. And I think it's the same thing in community. We want to encourage us to be able to have safe places where we can be transparent, where we can be vulnerable and operate in that way, because that's what allows for true oneness to happen. So we know that church is not a place, it's a people. And so even as we're trying, as we're looking at the body and going, what are the needs of the body? We're working really hard to not try to meet all the needs of the body in this place, because it can't happen. We can't fulfill that, because the normal Christian life is meant to be lived really outside of this place. This is like a place to come and get encouraged and get built up, but the bulk of our life is lived outside of this place in community with people. So we've talked about before, the reason that it's important is that it brings us strength. It brings us strength to do what God's called us to do. I love the concept of, I don't just have to do the best I can. I can get your best and bring it into my life. That's what community does for us. And God expects us to do that. He expects us to go and get the best from this person and bring it into my life. I don't know how to deal with this. We've had couples that come in and they're done. They're done with their marriage. We've tried everything, except we really haven't told anybody what's going on. And they say, we've done the best we can. It's just not going to work. And I think, if all I ever did was the best I could do, it probably wouldn't work for me either. I wouldn't be a good mom. I wouldn't be a good wife. I don't know how I would operate if I didn't have access to the best in other people when I needed that. So we want to create environments where we can do that. The other aspect of community is that it brings safety. There is safety in community. All you have to do is watch a Discovery Channel or National Geographic video to see that there's safety in community as it relates to the one lone gazelle who wanders off over to the watering hole and gets eaten by a crocodile or taken down by a lion or whatever. Like, don't be the straggler. We want to be in community. There's safety there. The Bible talks about the enemy is what is he doing? Prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. Well, he can devour those that are not in the safety of community, that don't have people around them to uphold them in prayer, to hold them accountable, to find out what's going on and how things are going. We need to stay in community for the sake of safety. Not because the enemy is so, you know, he's a lion, but he really doesn't have any teeth. But we want to stay in the community for that safety. There's a safety in making decisions in community. There's a safety in submitting to one another. Do I have people in my life that when I'm making a decision, I allow them input into that? Obviously, the first place we go is to the Lord, and he has the final say on the things we do. It's an interesting thing in relationship. If somebody comes to me and they say, the Lord's told me I'm supposed to do this, there's really not a lot that I can speak into that if they feel really strongly that the Lord has told them to do this. And yet, for the sake of community, it's okay to ask questions about that, to say, well, you know, what are you hearing and how are you hearing that? And what has the Lord told you about that? And did he say you have to do it now? Or, you know, do you need, really? You just met them a month ago and you're supposed to get married now? Well, I hear that you hear the Lord saying that. Does he mean right now you have to get married? You know, there's a safety in community in having people answer questions. And to some degree, if I withhold myself from community, it's because I really don't want anybody to tell me no. Or I really don't want anybody to tell me that decision doesn't seem, you know, or to ask me questions. It's not our job to control one another. But I have been so blessed, even when I haven't necessarily wanted to, when I've put a decision or something that's going on in my world in front of others and said, you know, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm hearing, what do you think? There's safety in that. We're sent by community. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about they brought Paul and Barnabas before the rest of the body, and they sent them, and they prayed for them and sent them. And then the very next verse says, and so they were sent by the Holy Spirit. There is a sending by our community that really gives us the wind of the Spirit at our back. There is something in that that I don't want to miss out on. Another aspect is that God speaks through community. I hate this part. Because God does speak to us through the people around us, even people that we don't particularly enjoy. Even people that don't necessarily agree with us or that don't do things the way that we would do them. God speaks through those people. Because it's important to him that we learn how to submit to one another in love. It's important to him that we learn how to be in community. And sometimes people will say, God's just not talking to me about this. He's just so silent. I can't hear God. And I would say, is it possible that he's speaking to you through some other people in your world and you just don't want to hear what they have to say? Because sometimes he wants to speak through the people around us. And obviously, we use wisdom in how we, you know, like the guy on the bus who just goes, hey, I think you should do this. That's not community. These are people that we've invested in relationship. The final thing that he gives us through community is courage. And this is a big one for me. Because for us, individually and corporately, to walk out the role that we're supposed to have on earth, we need amazing amounts of courage because it's beyond what we can do on our own. And I need a community around me who's going to speak courage into me, who's going to see the things in me that God's put in me and say, you can go after that, and I'm behind you. And I need to have those people that I see those things in them, and I give them courage to step into the places that the Lord's calling them into. Community gives us courage to be who he's called us to be and to do what he's called us to do. So we have those pieces. We have this concept of life flowing into us, like Barnabas pouring into Paul, of life flowing around us, that we have peers, that we're stepping into things together, and life flowing through us to other people, like Paul mentoring Timothy. And this is a model that's all throughout Scripture. This is what the normal Christian life is, because teaching itself does not transform our lives. What I'm doing right now does not transform your life. that transformation comes through discipleship. It happens in the context of doing life together. I will have a far greater impact on someone's ability to learn to walk in vulnerability and to learn to walk in connection with another person by doing that with them, by being in their kitchen, by demonstrating, I'm going to be in vulnerability with you. I'm going to share with you what I struggle with. I'm going to share with you that all the pictures I put on Facebook is not the full picture of my life. Isn't this great? Look at all this cool stuff we're doing, and we're so happy, and look, my kids are so cute, and I'm gonna walk with you in a way that you can see sometimes they're not super cute, and I'm not either. And we're not always doing fun stuff. Sometimes we're cleaning toilets and, you know, whatever. There's this aspect of walking together. That's where discipleship happens. That's where transformation happens in our lives. When our life gets on someone else's life. This is how Jesus operated. I love that the word today, during worship, there was a word that talked about Jesus and how he called his disciples. Because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. There was, in Matthew, it talks about how he saw them fishing and he said, come and follow me, come walk with me. And they did. And that is how he operated. He had people walking with him, doing life together. They were eating together, wondering, do we have enough money together? Do we have food? Do we have... And by walking with him, that's how they saw the nature and the character of God walked out. And I want to do that in my relationship with other people. I have people all the time that I go, wow, I know that is a character of God that I want to attain, what they're doing right there, because I've saw it walked out in their lives. Maybe it's the way they deal with their kids or how they talk to their spouse, how they, you know, I've been hanging out with someone and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, you're praying for the clerk. Okay, well, we can do that, you know, and here I am with this person who's transferring life to me by demonstrating this just because we're walking together. We were grocery shopping together, I think. So we need to have our lives touching other people's lives. And I don't think that it can fully happen through social media. So there's a way of creating spaces and places where this encounter can happen. And it's difficult. What Brian's talking about is this is a much more difficult day and age to see that happen than the past. Because in the past, maybe I had to go to the well, if like speaking in Bible times, I had to go to the well to get my water, and all the other women are getting their water too. And this is our time to share life together and to talk. It's sad to me how often I have a list of women I want to call and share time with, and I feel like I don't have the time because we've arranged our lives in such a way that it's difficult for us to share life together. The way that we live and the pace that we live at, not just us, hopefully I'm not just talking about us, all of us, it would have been ridiculous that any of us would work an hour away from home in days gone by. But now we do sometimes. And so there's time that's taken up by other things. And that's not bad. I don't think we're in the end of all things because of all that. But it does mean that we need to be more intentional about how we can connect with one another. We have to be more intentional about who we can be in relationship with. If I'm spending 8 hours a day at work, I'm going to start cultivating community at work. If I'm spending the day with my kids at home, what culture of community can I create with my kids at home? And Jesus, how can I get with other people too? Because for moms staying at home with their kids, they need to connect with other people during the day. So we need to be intentional about it. We're going to be intentional about creating those opportunities here. And what I'm asking is that you would be intentional about asking the Lord, do I have this flow of life in me, around me, and through me? And if I don't, how do you want me to get that? Lord, how do you want me to step into this place of community? What are the barriers to me stepping into this community? Is it distance? Is it that I'm afraid to really be known? Is it that, you know, I don't feel settled? Whatever it is. And that's what we want to create intentionally, is ways to meet that, because we really believe this is something the Lord's calling us to as a body, to step into this. The other piece, I'm just going to, before I end, something the Lord's really been moving in our hearts since, I don't remember when it was, but Pastor Bob talked about higher call, and he brought everybody 36 and younger, I think, up for prayer. Brian remembers. He didn't quite make the cutoff. But he brought everybody up for prayer just to bless that generation, in essence, kind of the next generation. And all I could think when I was up there, I wanted to turn around before they brought everybody, the others, up to pray and just say, we need you. Please don't release us and just let us run. We want to run with you. And one of the key pieces of what the church needs to have in these days is multi-generational. There needs to be a multi-generational community. And yes, we need to have youth things, and we need to have, you know, young couples have different things than older couples. But we are going to be looking for opportunities to have an atmosphere that honors multi-generational connection, because it is so important. That is a picture of the family of God. That is a picture of the nature of God. And I believe that there, on several levels, there has been this sort of attack of division in several different areas. I think race, gender, economic status. But this issue of multi-generational, this is another place that the world has divided and that the enemy wants to see divided in the church. And we are asking the Lord, how do we create a culture that values? I believe we have that here. We have that desire, but I want to see it walked out and lived out in an even greater way, because we need one another. And there's just a quick example. The Lord's been showing me these different places. We talked about Barnabas and Paul and Timothy, but Moses and Joshua, that there was a place of Moses holding the staff and Joshua holding the sword. And there's an alignment in that of allowing the older generation to hold the staff, to hold a sort of authority, and for there to be this interaction between the staff and the sword. I just feel like the Lord's going to release something in that. The other aspect I was looking at is the concept of Esther, that Esther saved a nation, but there was no way she could have done that without Mordecai. That was totally done as a team, Esther and Mordecai. It was Mordecai that gave her courage. It was Mordecai that gave her strength. It was Mordecai that spoke into the situation. And we always look at Esther, who saved the nation. But I want Mordecais in my life, whether I'm in this generation or that generation. So I just want to encourage you to take an opportunity to look at, Lord, what do you want to tell me about this right now? We have... if you go to our website, also there's a board on the back wall over there, and in the bulletin, we're going to have some more information coming out that just tells, here are ways that we're being intentional about connecting. We have 4 ongoing groups that there's information on the back wall, there's information at the information center and on the website, that they're ongoing groups that are just doing life together. We would like to see more of those groups come in different places, because we love what's happening in those groups. But in the same way that Jesus knew you can't be really truly intimate with a whole lot more than 12 people, we want to see more groups coming in various areas. So check that out if you're looking for a group to be part of. We have also a women's group that's focusing on healing. Barb is, can you wave, Barb? She is stepping into courage, and she is leading on Friday mornings just a teaching series on healing. And from a place of just let's share this together. This is something that's a passion in her heart, and I know a lot of other women that it's something they want to step into some more. And they're just going to do that together. They're going to pursue that together. So you can look for information. There's an insert on the back table there. We have some other things coming up that we don't have the full details for. We have a women's group that we're going to be launching that's really just going to focus on identity, because we feel like identity has been stolen from this time. For all of us, men, women, youth, there's something that the enemy has come in, and just the way the world looks at identity, we want to reconnect with the way that God sees us and how we can recapture the identity that he has for us. That's going to probably be like a twice a month meeting, so we'll get that information out. We have some things in our hearts for families. I know one of the things we really need to do that's sometimes hard because it feels really messy is get together as families and to pursue some of these things. Joe and Charity's group allows families because they're awesome and their house is indestructible, apparently. But they have families coming into their group, and we're going to be doing something with that as well. We want to do something with helping families create culture for their family. What do we want to be about as a family, and to do that together. We also have a Lamb home group once a month, Love After Marriage, and that's just for if you want to come in and just cultivate some good marriage tools and conversation and pursuing one another. It's kind of a nice date night sometimes. Sometimes it's a intense date night, but it's just an opportunity to really work on your connection as a couple. So we're going to keep these things before you. Before I go, here's what we would love from you so that we can serve you better. We have these connection cards in the bulletin that are typically for, like, if you're new to the church or you have a prayer request or something. We would like you in this week or throughout the week, maybe even next week, could you fill these out? You don't even necessarily have to put your name and number on it if you don't want any information to be sent to you. We just need to know what do you want right now? What do you need? What is an area that you need to be able to connect in? So if you're looking for information about an ongoing connect group in your area, let's say, I need something that's close to my area. Or if you're looking for something with family ministry, or if you're looking for, I'd really like to sit down with someone and find out what my giftings are. Whatever we can do, whatever would be of interest to you, if you want us to contact you, put your name and information in. If you just are helping us with our survey, then just write whatever. Like, we want more donuts after church or whatever. Yes. Great. Now we're going to have to do donuts. But really, we just want to know, as we are being intentional about creating organic community, we want to know what areas we can serve you in that. Okay? Bless you.